I'm on the phone with Bruce Peterson of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Bruce, this week, the Environmental Protection Agency went in front of a few hundred people in Kansas City. It was a field hearing to discuss the renewable fuel standard. You were not able to attend the hearing in person, but others from Minnesota were there. Who attended from the state, and what have you heard from them about the hearing?
Well, I had a couple people. Jerry Demmer, who farms down in the Clarks Grove area, he's a member of the Research and Promotion Council. Jerry attended, as well as Mitch Coulter, who is on staff with Minnesota Corn. So Jerry was one of those that testified, one of about 260 in front of a, they kind of split it into two separate so they could, you know, speed up the process. But Jerry was able to testify. It sounded like, you know, the testimony was about probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about nine to one in favor of, you know, leaving the original RFS as it stands. So very much in favor, you know, very strongly. I think EPA heard that message yesterday, which is important.
You say that, but has there been any indication from the agency that they're going to take what they heard yesterday and apply it in any way? Any reason to think that they might revise some of the obligation numbers that they recently released?
Well, that's the, we don't know that, but we need to try. And I think they need to hear that, you know, there is progress being made on, you know, especially with the infrastructure that's going in, you know, especially, you know, in Minnesota here, we've got, I think, in the neighborhood of 40 stations now that are providing, you know, they've got blender pumps, so people can choose, you know, whether they want, you know, they can choose E10 if they want, but they can also go to E15 or E30, or they can go up to E85, and, you know, it's up to the consumer's choice. And, you know, they've, a lot of these stations are having a lot of success, you know, where they've made that switch over on some infrastructure to do that, and it's, you know, it's providing a higher octane fuel that's, you know, it's a cleaner burning. It's also saving the consumer a lot of money. So I think, you know, these are things that are a little more recent that have happened that continued switch over in infrastructure, which is going to allow us to sell more ethanol, and, you know, things like that EPA needs to hear. So I think it's continued. It's important that we continue to, you know, get that message to EPA. Now, whether or not they, you know, make any changes based on that, we don't know, but we're certainly going to try.
I'm paraphrasing here, and I cannot recall exactly who it was that made the statement yesterday. I believe it was a spokesperson of some kind for EPA, talking about the original RFS that was written into law in 2007, and that the targets then were just unrealistic, and that farmers could not produce enough corn and soybeans for the ethanol and biodiesel mandates. When you hear that argument, what do you think, Bruce? What's your counter to that?
Well, they're basically, I mean, if as we set higher targets, that sets a higher target for more production. We can produce more, and, you know, currently, we are producing more than the RFS numbers that they're proposing. It's just a lot of it's being, we're getting rid of that excess through exports. So we can produce the ethanol. We just soon keep it here in our own country, and we just soon import less oil. So, you know, they've got to realize that we're going to continue. These plants get to be more efficient in terms of the yield per bushel of corn. They're producing more ethanol all the time on a bushel of corn. They're using less water, and we've got other technologies that are being developed that are making corn. You know, it's been a challenge on the cellulosic, but there's some of those that have started to produce. There's also some ethanol being produced from corn kernel fiber. That's kind of a new technology. So if these new technologies are going to continue to be developed, we need to, you know, we need to have room for that ethanol that they're going to produce. So
there have been accusations that EPA is beating the drum of the petroleum industry, so to speak. Again, you weren't at the hearing yesterday, but I'm sure you've thought about this for months, if not years, and not just during the period of time here where we've had the revised renewable volume obligations and then the hearing. Let's take it from that angle, Bruce, where some think that EPA has an agenda and it's tied to petroleum and big oil. Is that your belief? And if it is, then maybe you could talk a little bit more about why you think that way.
Well, the whole idea of the original RFS was that it would force infrastructure to be put in place that would allow these higher blends to be, you know, to be sold, and that simply hasn't happened because it hasn't been enforced that way. So, you know, most of your retailers are controlled by oil companies, and they don't want to sell more than an E10 blend. But yet at the same time, you've got a number of oil companies are getting into the ethanol business because they know that they need the octane. They've cut the octane in regular gasoline, but they're kind of souping it up, so to speak, by adding ethanol to it. And by adding even more ethanol, say to go to an E15 or an E30 blend, you raise your octane even more. And, you know, we're kind of doing that at the expense of lower quality blend stock in the base gasoline. So certainly they've you know, when you sit back and look, you know, do they want to try to fight with oil or do they want to fight with the corn producers? And unfortunately, the oil probably has more power. So they certainly do seem like they're siding with the oil companies.
What will it take for that to change, where either they're 50-50 on who they're siding with or they don't play favorites at all? What will it take?
Well, probably in the long run, it may take some change in the administration, I'm afraid. But, you know, they need to hear loud and clear what's going on out in the country, you know, how, you know, in the short term, they need to hear how important ethanol is in the countryside, what it's done for, you know. I don't think, you know, one thing, you know, you back up a few years, a lot of people forget about, you know, what ethanol has done for our air quality. A lot of your larger cities, you know, you don't have to go back that many years, maybe 10, 15 years, where the air quality was not very good. And we've improved that dramatically with the inclusion of more ethanol with our gasoline. And so we'd like to continue to improve that even more. But, you know, the underlying question, how are we going to get EPA to change? We just need to keep hammering on them.
Let's talk about what's going on here at the state level with the new law that was signed by the governor here with the legislative session ending, the E15 dispenser bill. So regardless of federal regulation, the E15 dispenser bill, it looks like, will allow for higher blends at the pump and more pumps being able to offer E15 in Minnesota.
Yep, exactly. You know, we've been working. We've been in a partnership with some other groups the last 2-3 years doing that very same thing. Now there's more legislation that will create some funding for some stations to convert some of their infrastructure over to allow higher blends, you know, and we're going to continue to try to do what we've done. When I say we, I mean the corn growers partnering with other groups to do that very same thing. So there'll be multiple sources for some of these stations to access a little bit of relief from the cost of switching infrastructure over to you know, allow higher blends. But, you know, the bottom line is the consumer is going to save considerably amount of you know, of money on these higher ethanol blends. This morning I drove by a station that had E85, it was priced, you know, I believe it was $1.69, which is roughly, you know, a dollar below E10. And, you know, a lot of these stations that are offering E15, generally they're in that 5 to 10 cents a gallon less than E10. And for E30, they're usually 20 cents less than E10. So it not only benefits our economy here in Minnesota, where, you know, ethanol supports roughly 13,000 jobs in the state, but, you know, along with that, it's good for the consumer in terms of air quality and also cost savings at the pump.
You look at the timing of this, and I find it interesting because what EPA announced this year, in a matter of the last month, I think it was, the targets for 2014, 15, and 16. So when this whole conversation really began, commodity prices were much higher than they are now. And I'm spitballing here, Bruce, but it was like the EPA thought back in 2014 that it would be a good time to revise this because you have corn at, you know, $7 or $8. But as the things unfolded and agriculture said, wait a minute, this is the law that you're trying to change. Now you have commodity prices that have backed off considerably, and it certainly makes economic sense to have higher blends of ethanol and more of it available because, you know, the price of corn is cheaper. The timing of all of this, I mean, does that make sense to you that when the EPA really first approached the subject of backing off on the obligations, that they thought their argument was going to be in the high commodity prices, and now they don't really have any ground to stand on when it comes to that argument?
Well, to some extent, but, you know, I think, you know, the prices are going to be, they're going to cycle up and down, and, you know, I don't think anybody knows where corn is going to be here in a month or two even, let alone, you know, try to tie ethanol in. You know, what we need is a long-term plan, and, you know, there needs to be some stability coming from Washington so that these, especially on these newer technologies or even ethanol plants that are considering, you know, an existing plant that may be considering expansion, they need to have some kind of policy in place that they have confidence in that you know, encourages them to continue to, you know, produce more ethanol or you know, maybe develop a new type of technology that you know, is going to produce more ethanol. And so, you know, my viewpoint is, as I said earlier, they're trying to stifle new innovation and new technology is what they're doing by keeping these numbers low.
Last thing I have for you, and it goes back to the hearing yesterday, and in the coming weeks and months, how you think this will all transpire or unfold. It's not written down yet. It's not set in stone what these renewable volume obligations are going to be. What do you anticipate happening here with this, Bruce?
Well, we, you know, the first thing, we're just going to do what we can and try to make it, you know, we encourage farmers to get out and, you know, obviously we had a lot of industry leaders that were at the hearing yesterday. You've also got a chance to, you know, if people as individuals that would like to respond to EPA, the first thing we want to encourage them to maybe, you know, send in a letter and say how it's positively impacted themselves. And, you know, one way you can do that, you can go on our website, mncorn.org, and there's a tab there, click on Don't Mess with the RFS, and you can either do it online or you can print off a form there or maybe copy and paste that and maybe add some individual comments to that letter, you know, and on the letterhead is the address to EPA. So that's our first thing, is we want to get as many comments into EPA as we can. You know, in the end, what's the result going to be? That's, I guess, for anybody to speculate. You know, I'm afraid that they're probably going to side with more on the oil company side, which makes it all that more critical that we send in as many comments as we can. But, you know, we'll know here in November what, you know, if we did any good or not, but certainly going to try.
It's the end of November, right? November 30th is the date
Correct.
They set?
Yep, okay. November 30th.
All right. Bruce, anything else about the RFS or the hearing that you wanted to mention today?
Well, it's, you know, the RFS in general has been a great thing for, you know, rural America and, you know, our rural economies, and it's also helped clean up the air. But unfortunately, a lot of these new companies that want to develop more technology, they're not getting real strong signals whether or not they should proceed forward, and that's what they need, and that's what's going to help, help further drive the economy, in the future if we can continue to grow the ethanol industry. So that's what a strong RFS can do.